Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
I think basically this boils down to social media is fine, capitalism sucks.
Yeah, no, it's...
Maybe the internet isn't the problem, maybe capitalism is the problem.
It's once you got the money involved, it all went to shit, because, like, all those small community websites didn't make fucking money. They made enough to keep the lights on, but it's not like someone was getting rich off of fucking, like, Alaskan Toads forum.
Sure.
The foremost forum for Alaskan toad enthusiasts.
Yeah.
It's got to be like one toad in Alaska. There are clowns in Alaska.
There had to have been.
The fierce Wendigo snow clowns.
There are like six people in Alaska. One of them dressed as a clown.
What would you have done if one of these clowns, because I never saw a clown, but what would we have done? You saw a clown.
No, I saw like... on campus, I saw them like walking after people from a far distance, where I truly just turned around and went right back in the dorm.
I never saw a clown on campus.
I just turned around and went right back. Like, it was like, I do not need to go out that much, that badly. And they may deny that there were ever clowns on campus, and maybe there weren't. Maybe I just saw some creepy people trying to like freak people out, and my brain was playing tricks on me at night. But like,
what a ridiculous statement. Kent State may deny the existence of clowns on campus.
Yeah.
Well, we don't talk about this shit ever, and yet here we are talking about how a university had to come out and say, we don't have clowns on campus. What an absurd statement. What a crazy world we lived in, where like the presence of clowns had to be confirmed or denied by a government institution, and now we don't talk about it. What has this world become? The thought is just like, that happened. We're the fucking bozos. The clowns wanted it. We're the bozoverse. They dragged us in. We're just in like it right now. Holy fuck. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your never seen a clown in real life. Hey, I'm trying to think of that's true. I think that's true. I don't think I've ever seen a... Pretty sure he hasn't ever seen a clown in real life. Host Matthew Olenchek, joined as always by my clown bunkered
co-host. I have seen Harrison too Paul. Many clowns. I
went to the circus once. There had to be a clown there.
Almost certainly.
And the old circus, too, where we didn't have this holographic mamby-pamby elephant bullshit. You sat there with your snow clone and you watched real elephants get tortured.
So wait, there... Okay, first off, I'm not saying it was better. There's virtual elephants now?
Yeah, you hear about this? Because the circus is constantly trying to save itself from being outdated, which is fair. Boys need a place to run to. But they're like doing like holographic like light show elephants. Like it's a light show experience of animals.
Huh. I mean,
did I ever tell you I got involved? I was somewhat personally involved with a circus elephant.
Nah.
So when I worked at that Ren Fair, we had an elephant that was the constant, like, you know, you do all your Ren Fair work, and in the background is the constant hum of war with multiple animal, like, advocacy groups about the fact that we had an elephant in northeastern Ohio.
Was the elephant treated, like, kindly?
I don't think it was abused.
Okay.
I can't speak for certain. Okay. But, like, the people who own the elephant seem to really care about it. But, you know, it's still a show elephant, so...
You know what? It's... That's one of those where you kind of gotta, like... that's a personal decision at that point. Like, yeah, as long as...
I don't think it's like a circus where they're like, I fucking hate these elephants, and they punch them.
Dude.
But, like, it was like, you do have an elephant in northeastern Ohio.
Oh, 100%.
And you're making people ride on its back, and they're northeastern Ohioans, so, like, half of them are huge because they're at a Ren Fair.
It's, like... Someone
probably sexually harassed them. There's a lot of sexual harassment at these Ren Fairs. So one of the runnies definitely fucking like assaulted that elephant, probably.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it was the one time the one guy assaulted eight women in an hour.
No, do I want to hear the story?
I'll tell you from my point of view, because that's about all I know of it.
Okay.
Do I
have to cut this?
No, you could probably leave it in. But there was this one performer, because I keep everything generic, so, you know, we can leave it in. But there's this one performer, and I found out he sexually assaulted one of my friends. And I found out about this, I was very angry. And then I found out he sexually assaulted another one of my friends. And then I was even angrier. And then that happened about 7 more times. Because apparently he'd gone like a spree of sexually harassing women. And so a lot of resources internally on the cast was trying to keep the very angry people from committing crimes. Because Jared's like, hey, just come on a walk with me. One point he's like, let's go over here. And it's because he had seen the guy and he's like, oh, he's going to fucking kill him. And our fight director's wife had also been sexually harassed. And he was an angry Irish man. So like me and him were trying to kill this guy. And everyone was trying to keep us away from him. I remember he took me over to see his wife. Mm-hmm. And she's like, here, sit down, have something. She like, pulled out just like a picture of Bloody Mary she had ready because it's a rent fair. She's like, there you go. She's like, oh, you're just like him when you get angry. And so eventually the entertainment director let us know that he was let go. But don't worry, he'll be back next year.
What? So
he was a popular show.
Okay. Two horrible questions that I hate to ask. You use the phrase assault and harassment interchangeably.
Yeah.
Was it both? Was it one?
What? I'm always like dubious. Okay. On it, because I view any of it as bad, so I've never thought, think, you know what, it was, I'd say on a scale of sexual harassment, 1 being awful and 10 being rape, it was like a 1 or 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
it was like drunk guy.
Okay, that also
sexually harassing.
Thank you, and that answers my second question. Did you find out about all 8 of them in an hour, or was it all over the course of 1 hour?
Both, actually.
So, like, it was, okay.
He did it all in an hour, and then I had found out, like, slightly delayed.
Right. I didn't know if it was, like, over the course of a few days, and then you found out where it's like, holy shit,
We had to talk to one cast member. It was every day was something insane.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, we should have just branded on for a special episode where we just tell stories. It's insane. But there is a one cast member we had explained to that, no, a man licking your neck is sexual harassment.
That's assault.
Assault. Sexual. See, it's... I don't know what the difference is. Oh, man. If you do any of it, I think you should get like shots.
So. I agree with you. 100% I agree with you. And I could be wrong. I think.
It probably is sexual. Because I'm pretty sure that would just be assault if it wasn't sexual.
I think the thing, the moment is contact.
Yeah, then it's all assault.
And this has been explained to me once. Like, and I am a white man re-explaining a thing that I don't fully understand the legality of.
It's okay. I'll be here to accept your. I was catcalled once, so I feel.
I've also like been catcalled a couple times. Yeah.
Who by?
Just random people, like strangers, like
a bunch of frat guys catcalled me once.
Oh, nice.
I think they thought I was a woman.
Nice.
They seemed upset when I turned around.
I'm sorry. No.
Yeah, fuck me. If they weren't upset, I would have got some frat boy.
But like, I was walking home one day downtown, and literally a woman rolled down her window and shouted some catcalling thing. And I didn't know her. And then a couple months later, it was a different group of, like, it was a different group, but it was like just a bunch of dudes who, again, I have long hair,
yeah,
so like genuinely probably thought I was a woman. But contact always assault. If it is harassment over a significant period of time, it becomes assault. I believe that's the legality of it.
That's like the whole den, like the situation. It's a bad situation for women to be in to begin with, because a lot of rent fairs, like, you know, if you're young, there's like a guest, it's fine. But if you get immersed in the renty culture, it's there's a very open sexuality to it.
Sure.
Which can lead to more instances of assault.
100%.
Like, for example, one of the first things we had to tell new cast members is don't let the two chainmail bikini women put the leash on you, because they'll try to leash you and then you can't get out of it, and then you're stuck in that leash until they deem you ready to go. And this is like a talk with like we sit down with new cast members and be like, yeah, so there's like these two hot women in chain bikinis, they're gonna try to put a leash on you. It was down to their weird twink imp.
They were just there.
They would just show up. They were one of those people that show up like every day, and they had this like twink on a leash. And sometimes they try to put the leash on you, and you'd be like, "No, thank you."
Not okay. Yeah, so what? So I've been to the Ren Faire a couple times, and I never worked one, but I've been to a few Ren Faires, and like it was very like open sexual, like it was in the air, but I never saw any of this.
The Rennies are an insular group, and it's a weird fucking group. And if they think that you're like part of that group, they all try to suck you in.
I think the closest I've ever seen personally was a bar maiden like pouring the drink directly into someone's mouth. I think that's the closest I've ever seen to anything even in that genre.
Several times I had to avoid using a green room because someone was fucking in there.
Jesus.
Just wanted to take a fucking nap. One time I just took a nap anyways.
Jesus.
I was like, whatever.
So, I don't want to know that. Never mind. Nah, I have no follow-up
question. What's your question?
I truly thought it was one of those that they were starting to form and nothing fully formed. And so I stopped it before it became a full thought. Mm. So...
We can talk to the movie.
How are we gonna this is just gonna be a jump, isn't it?
This is a movie I wish I saw before I went to Philadelphia. Because when I went to, I'm gonna tell a little personal story that ties into this movie. When I went to Philadelphia, I was walking back from the convention I was at to my hotel to take a nap. Apparently a reoccurring theme in most of my stories.
Sure.
And I took a left instead of a right.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, oh, what smells good? And I looked up and I was in fucking Chinatown. And I was like, I don't know where the fuck I am. Luckily, I just had to turn around. But it took me a while to realize that. I was like, where the fuck am I? And there's fucking like wizards and like kung fu battles in the streets.
Yeah.
And fucking like flying ancient Chinese ghosts.
Yeah.
I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
Did you at least like get behind things when the electricity started flying?
Yeah, I got behind things when things happened. I made friends with the Chinese lawyer who knew kung fu.
Okay.
And then I wandered around like, where the fuck am I? How do I get back? I don't know how to. I've never been to Philadelphia before. I'm lost. I'm lost in Chinatown. Smells great though. Everyone seems really friendly.
You didn't see anyone get captured for some like.
I saw like three groups get captured,
but for a woman with green eyes for like a supernatural.
Well, they're like far away, so I didn't really.
Okay, so you didn't really.
There's like three beautiful women were dragged off by goons.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck's going on?
So, do we even say what the movie was?
No.
Okay, it's John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China.
I want to get this out of the way because it's going to be something that comes up a lot.
Uh-huh.
I really like that Jack doesn't do anything in this movie.
I love
it. He does little to nothing. He's always there vaguely helping.
Yes.
And he does show that he's competent in many areas. He's never a liability.
Correct.
And when he does do his one thing, it's super fucking cool. Like, he does the one thing that really, like, solves the problem, and it's super fucking cool.
And they set it up in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like,
and like
it's not like he just, like, had the magic powers. He just,
I was looking it up, and someone does, as reading about it, and people are like, the thing is that he's probably is a super competent guy, but he just entirely out of his fucking wheelhouse.
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like if he had an idea what was going on, he would have been more helpful. And he does do things, my favorite things. It'd be so easy to have a character like this do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But he does take down bad guys.
Yeah, he takes down a few bad guys. He
things wouldn't have worked out if he wasn't there.
Correct. Yeah, like he opens the door to a couple places. He makes sure that Kate Cattrall, Gracie Law, thank you. I forgot her name for a second. Like he makes sure that like Wang and Gracie make it like to safety at certain points. Like he is a competent fighter. He
needs to be holding his knife more often instead of leaving it in his fucking boot.
Yeah.
And I also like that he just generally just seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's just a good guy.
If this movie got remade today, Jack Burton would 100% have a podcast.
Oh, 100%.
And I would be an avid listener.
Oh, 100%. He's like, he seems like, yeah, he's a bit overconfident, a bit macho, but he's not like toxic about it.
No.
And he's like just a cool guy. And really, you're like, oh, how do you know he's a cool guy? He fucking like saw a wizard and still was like, I'm going to keep helping my friend. Like, and like once he gets into the weeds, he could have left at any point, but he's like, I'm here to help my friend.
Absolutely. It, at some point, it stops being about the money or the truck. It yeah. truly is like, well, goddamn, now like now I'm too deep into this thing. So Big Trouble in Little China, directed by John Carpenter, written by two people I can't remember off the top of my head, and then adapted by W.D. Richter.
Who invented
the Richter scale.
The Richter scale.
Yeah, Andy Richter's grandfather. Director of our last week's movie, Buckaroo Banzai, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai, Across the Eighth Dimension. This movie is like a tangent for Buckaroo Banzai, but they definitely feel like at least in the same family.
They could be in they could be in the Avengers, the
yes.
not Avengers, Avengers together.
100%. Like
they could be a team up movie with him and Buckaroo Banzai.
Yes. And I'm
gonna say it, if he was fighting the World Crime League, I think he'd actually do stuff. I think he'd be fully in his element. You know, you see a witch, he's like, what the fuck's going on? He sees Al Capone. It's over for Al Capone.
So, do you think Buckaroo jacks out the Pork Chop Express? Or do you think that Jack Burton becomes a part of the Hong Kong collective? I forget the name off the top of my head.
I think they're bar buddies.
Okay, so they like they work together on specific missions, yeah, but they're not like the same. Like,
I think
so it's
he's
not
like,
the Avengers.
I think it's like yeah. when he's like, we need more people.
He's one of the first
people. He's one of the first people he calls.
That makes sense.
Because they're fighting
totally competent.
They're fighting the crime league.
Yeah.
And that's bigger. So he's like, we need to call more people. So they call them their friends.
Yes.
And one of them is Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he is. He's a very competent person. Like, because I was watching him, when he sneaks into the brothel and he has like mm-hmm. the whole weird, his whole disguise thing going on, expertly done.
Yeah.
In any other situation where they're not witches about, he would have been flawless. And really, I think his biggest flaw is he needs to get the knife out of his boot and just hold it.
Yeah.
He does his most work with that knife. He kills yeah. a guy with a knife in his boot.
Yeah, he does. a little story about
also,
why.
Also, it's okay, implied that he's competent because when his friend's future wife is stolen,
yeah,
he's like, I need your help on this.
Yes.
And you don't go and be like, hey, a bunch of kung fu gangsters stole my wife. And then you go to a person who's a buffoon for help.
No, 100%. Unless you literally are trying to get him to be like the scapegoat to barge in so that you can do the yeah. real shit. But that doesn't seem to be.
No,
the
everyone's
plan.
Pretty genuine in this movie.
Yeah. Also, the reason that this movie takes place in the same universe as Buckaroo Banzai, electricity. Drawn electricity.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, they harness the electricity for evil, or not even evil, for violence. And I know that you believe that sex is violent.
Yes.
But like...
But not gore.
Sure.
Had that discussion earlier this week.
Okay. What? So
I don't think
sex is violent. I agree that sex violence, should not be
like,
gory.
Like it's you know it's tussling.
Yeah,
I think that knife play is the sacrament of the devil.
Listen, people are into it. Let your freak flag fly with the consenting partner.
Bludgeoning damage only.
Okay.
No slashing or piercing. Definitely no magical.
Listen, I am on your side. If you are two adults and you are consenting, I'm not going to judge. Just don't tell me about it.
You will go to hell.
Just don't tell me about it.
You will go to hell for that. God only approves of bludgeoning.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah. Lumping and thumping only is the way of sex, says I. God.
Also, I love that, like...
It's called banking, not slashing.
Yeah, yeah.
If you wouldn't do it to a crate that had a delicious fruit inside that you were trying to get and you were an ape...
Sure.
You shouldn't do it in the bedroom. That's my hard take. If it's something Donkey Kong wouldn't do while trying to get a banana out of a crate, no place in the bedroom.
You know what? I hard agree. I'm just gonna hard agree to get out of this.
Every time I fuck a woman before I do anything, I say, what would Donkey Kong do? It's my moral compass.
But this is a movie we'll probably be jumping around a lot with. Another thing that I do like, in addition to like the fact that he's like completely competent but very out of his element and really doesn't do a whole lot, is that the romance between him and Kate Cattrall. Again, Gracie Law. I forgot her character name. Between Jack Burton and Gracie Law, like there definitely is a chemistry, but the fact that there are two grown adults who kind of realize like this isn't gonna work out, like
yeah, he just goes, no, I'm gonna kiss her goodbye, leaves.
Yeah, where he's like. I can settle down. I can sell the truck and like start a life here. And she was like, I can't have that on my conscience. I'm not going to let you do that, but we could build an apartment. Like we can get a bigger truck and like have a little nice, like studio apartment in the back. And he's like, I mean, I rub everyone the wrong way. Eventually you're going to get sick of me. Unfortunately, it's the curse of Jack Burton. I am alone.
Seal horse, he rides.
Yeah.
He's wanted dead or alive. I think also things like that, it's not even he's out of his depth, but also he's also surrounded by people who are way more competent.
Yes.
He's surrounded by like kung fu. Even the fucking lawyer knows goddamn kung fu.
Also, I'm going to say it, directed by a white man. I want to say I'll look it up, but I want to say W.D. Richter's a white man. Written by a white man, a very Chinese movie. Not really racist.
It's not really racist, no, because I'm trying to think of how to word it, like exactly why it's not racist. Because it's not racist. I guess because it just takes things very earnestly, and everything that's wild, everyone acknowledges is fucking wild.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just nuts. Because really, the only premise is, what if Chinese myth and legend were true, and this goes from there.
So Chinese myth and legend is true in this universe. Is it only Chinese myth and legend?
I don't know.
Or do you think? I mean, if this takes place in the Buckaroo Banzai universe, hypothetically, all myth and legend could be true.
I think we'd have to see the sequel, Big Trouble in Little Italy, to find out.
Yeah. I agree with you.
In which he has to fight, like, Chef Boyardee or Mussolini.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of, I mean,
Italian myth.
Big Trouble in German Village.
Well, he's fighting gnomes and dwarves.
Yeah.
That'd be cool as shit.
Yeah.
I would pay a lot of money to see Kurt Russell fight like a Germanic folklore gnome.
Oh, that we
made by John Carpenter.
Also, because
it comes out like, nah, you know, like it's a little gross, and he goes, Grr, and then he goes, ah, fuck.
Also, I have a new mission as a filmmaker, as an artist. The thing that I need to do is I need to have Jeff Bridges and Kurt Russell star in a movie together.
Yeah.
It's never happened. And the fact that it's never...
They are very similar.
It sounds like a slam.
Kurt Russell is just a more action-y Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. So I need to find the script. I need to get in contact with their agents. I don't know if they work with first-time directors, so I need to at least have a couple projects under my belt to be established enough for them.
This is Big Trouble in Little Germany. I could see Jeff Bridges playing the German equivalent of Egg.
Hear me out. Big Trouble in Little Grid.
You'd stick him in Tron?
I mean, you want to put Buckaroo Banzai in Tron.
Yeah, that's true.
So if this takes place in the same universe,
I just don't know if it fits for a standalone. I think standalone, he has to go to various regional parts of cities.
Sure.
Like in this one, he shows up, he's delivering like kibasa and like sauerkraut, and then he ends up like, I don't know, like a bunch of gnomes steal a woman, and they find an old German wizard played by Jeff Bridges, and they have to go fight like Hitler or something.
That's the thing with Big Trouble in Little German Village.
Every movie being the same.
Yes, 100%.
It's the same thing, just keeps happening. And I think the fourth one, he acknowledges that it's weird this keeps happening, yes. But not until then. And it's like, obviously the exact details of the plot are different, but like he keeps going to small ethnic regional parts of cities
to meet up with old road buddies.
Yeah, to drop off food and talk to old road buddies and people he knows.
He wins a gambling match.
He wins some sort of gambling game.
The game changes every time, obviously. But he wins a gambling match, and then he is forced to stay an extra day, and then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, and he has to deal with another creature from folklore.
So I need to do this. That it's my mission. It needs the.
I'm trying to think of like a Middle Eastern country that tends to have bastions in our countries.
I mean, there are Indian communities, but not in the same way.
Well, Middle Eastern, not Southeast Pacific.
Oh, sure. Sorry, I was thinking East Asian. My bad.
Because Sorry. I specifically want him to fight a Dijin.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
Like instead of using like kung fu weapons, they all just have like, how do you say it? Like the Arabukis or whatever, the big old gun.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yeah, I mean, we're pretty advanced, so we have like firepower.
So if you can't tell this far into the episode by our talks about it, this is a banger movie.
It's incredible. I saw the poster said he's in for big trouble and you're in for big fun. And you know what, movie poster? You were right.
He's in big trouble and it is big fun. If John Carpenter had not made The Thing, he has like four or five other films that are like in discussion for the greatest film of all time.
Everyone always views him as like a horror guy, but like,
no,
he really is just a good filmmaker.
He's a pretty wide, yes, he is mostly a horror guy. And I think it's because
he did Escape from New York too, right?
Yes, and L.A.
Yeah.
He does action comedy fun. Yeah. Escape from New York is fantastic. Escape from LA is all vibes, and I love that movie, and you can't make me not love that movie.
An entire series of video games.
Yeah. I'm not saying that movie is perfect or has aged perfectly or is in any way truly a masterpiece. If you don't analyze Escape from LA with your head and analyze it instead with your heart, it's amazing.
It's just a fine movie.
No, it's actually a mess and kind of all over the place. And Pam Grier plays a trans woman, and out of nowhere, and Pam Grier shows up way too late in the movie. And sorry, this is not Escape from LA. I might bring it on. Have you seen Escape from New York?
No.
You've not seen either. Okay, that might be a thing I'll bring both on. But yeah, Big Trouble in Little China, my point is one of the discussions. For me, it's Prince of Darkness, In the Mouth of Madness, Big Trouble in Little China, and Halloween is one of those that if you bring it up, I'm not gonna scoff at you.
Ironically, I always forget he did Halloween. Yeah. I think it's because it's so low key.
Halloween,
and I always associate him with like really good special effects.
Yes, Halloween is just a very well executed B movie.
Yeah, there's incredibly well executed. No special effects. So when I think John Carpenter, I think, oh, he has fantastic,
yeah,
like good special effects.
Yes. I think the last 90 seconds of Halloween is in contention or in conversation for the best thing ever done by Hollywood ever. It's probably the best thing John Carpenter has ever made is the last 90 seconds of Halloween. The rest of that movie is just very well executed. To me, it's like an 8.5. I like it a lot. I love that movie.
Led to the latest Halloween.
Yeah.
Which gave us, one of the best opening setups for a movie.
Uh-huh.
Which is a bunch of shitty true crime podcasters set in motion a supernatural event.
Sure.
Which really seems in character for a lot of like true crime, like a lot of the like people who are trying to be true crime, yeah, podcasters, 100% would lead to unleashing a supernatural evil.
This movie is a 9, 9.5, only because I know what John Carpenter
can do. I think
I've
only seen Halloween 3. Is that the one with the masks?
Halloween 3 is the one that doesn't take place in the universe. It's like its own separate.
Yeah, that's the one that has like the four-leaf clover masks.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I was like, I mean, Halloween is known for a very specific mask. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the one I've seen.
You've not seen the first, like the original?
No, I've only seen the one no one likes.
Which, I've not seen it. My dad is a defender of that movie.
We can bring it for, like, we'll bring it in October.
Yeah, my dad is a defender of that movie. He says it's very good, and if it was just called Season of the Witch and it didn't have the, like, connotation of Halloween, it would be viewed much better.
The perfect, stupid, schlocky. Yeah. Yep. Of its time horror movie.
Yep. That's basically how he describes it. But yeah, Big Trouble is like a 9, 9.5 only because I know The Thing is a 42. Like The Thing is an argument for, I think, one of the best films ever made.
Yeah.
And if the thing did not exist, this movie's a 10. But the fact that I know what a 10 by John Carpenter, this has the Furiosa problem and the Martin Scorsese After Hours problem in that, like, I know what their 10 is.
Yeah, they've already made their masterpiece.
So. Yes. Like, he made King of Comedy, and he still is going to make Goodfellas and, like, other amazing movies. I would argue Goodfellas is, like, a 10. I don't know if it's, like, his 10, if that makes
sense. This is why I think that if you make a movie and you realize it's going to be your best, you don't release it until you're dead.
Sure. But I also think that artists are very bad at judging the ranking and quality of their own work.
That's why you get other people to do it. You always have your friends look at it, and they say, this is the best thing you're ever going to make. Every time a director dies, I want there to be a movie release, and it's their best work.
In theory, I agree with you. In practice, I don't think it'll ever
work
out.
What a mourning ritual that is. Like, oh, John Carpenter dies, and people flock to the theaters to partake in a sacrament of the best thing he's ever made, the thing, in the year 2027. How old is he?
He's like 75. He's slightly younger than the Spielberg crowd.
2035.
Yeah.
What was saying?
77, yeah.
Big video game head.
Yes. Big video game head and transitioned to just being a rock star.
I always like when big directors come out and be like, no, video games are art, because so many people are like, they're not art, and that's because you're not playing the right games. That's why you don't think video games are art, because you're like, it's wrestling and Fortnite. It's like, there's other games out there which are art.
I would still argue wrestling and Fortnite are art, but
they
sure.
They are. Yeah. They're not cinema. This is one video sure. game where it's called Two Brothers,
mm-hmm.
where you control two brothers, one with each joystick.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, one can do one thing, one can do other. And spoilers, at one point, the older brother dies.
Mm-hmm.
And there comes a moment when, like, you have to, like, learn to use the other joystick as the younger brother to do the thing because your brother's not there anymore.
Oh, that's so cool. That's cinematic.
And
that's
the
fucking
thing where, like,
true storytelling.
You don't, like, you're like, I don't know how to get past this. And, like, you as a player have to realize you have to use the other joystick even though your brother's not there anymore.
That is a perfect understanding of the medium.
It is so good. I recommend everyone, I spoiled it, but I recommend everyone play. It's one of those things where you're like, oh, man, this is good.
I know I ask this basically is this a thing where we're just going to, like, jump around and where it leads us, or do you want to go through, and then see where it leads us and we jump around as needed?
I'll touch on the plot really quick, because there's a lot happening, but plot beat-wise, there's not too much.
This is so much more understandable than Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah, he drops off some food, he wins money from his friend. His friend's like, hey, I'll pay you back, but you need to help me pick up my new wife from the airport. She's coming in from China. And he goes, all right. And so he drives him to the airport, and then he sees the Gracie Law character, and she sees a woman. And then some guys go after to grab the smaller girl. And then you see, again, you start to see how Jack's a good guy, because he just gets involved.
Mm-hmm.
Just without hesitation says, what the fuck are you doing? And then they kidnap the guy's wife, and so they chase him into Chinatown. There's a kung fu battle. Some wizards come down and start shooting out lightning, and then they get involved in that. They end up running to Gracie Law. They have to, like, infiltrate a brothel to rescue her from sex slavery. I forgot he runs through a ghost who shoots light out of his eyes before this.
David Lopan. The central villain of the story.
Central villain. They eventually meet David Lopan, who's an ancient, immortal, cursed Chinese emperor who needs to marry a Chinese or just a woman with green eyes. To be freed from his hell.
At first, it was a Chinese woman with green eyes, and then seemingly out of nowhere, it's just a woman.
I think
woman.
Maybe he just assumed it was a Chinese woman with green eyes.
Maybe.
And then, so they have a whole action adventure there. They get out, but they don't have the woman, and they lose Gracie Law. So then Egg Chen. Egg comes out. He's a wizard. So he brings his boys. They go in. They have a big climactic battle. They save the day, and he rides away on his steel horse. And that's pretty much the plot. Yeah. Everything else is it's not so much about the plot points, because the plot points are pretty basic. It's about the experience of the plot points, just the general vibes of there being big trouble in Little China. And just seeing wacky shit, like a giant Chinese, I'm presuming Chinese worm, come out of the wall, and then he goes, "You shall not show up anymore," and that just happens, and then you have to move on.
Then there's the troll, like the gangly
Sasquatch?
Sasquatchy troll.
Like Adult Swim Sasquatch.
That hides in his truck at the end, spoilers.
Yeah.
The last shot of the movie is the Sasquatch troll coming out of the bottom of the truck bed. The back of the truck bed, Jack Burton's in the driver's seat.
That's it.
It's a tale as old as time.
Tale as old as time. I mean, I saw it happen 3 times when I was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, right?
Wild.
Also, the Emperor has like 3 primary henchmen who only communicate in screams. And
I mean,
like,
the wife has maybe 1 line in this movie.
Yeah, Mao Yin.
She says, "No, stop it," right before he dies.
And she doesn't even get the chance to talk at the truck at the end because Wang sticks his tongue down her throat.
Yeah, she doesn't talk at all. She's just, they're like, "Hey, you want a really easy acting job? You just have to be pretty."
This movie is a bunch of action set pieces.
Constant action.
Yeah, are there any that...
Every single one's great. I mean, I can't pick. The opening one where they're just in the truck's great, but you're just watching everything happen around them, and they're like, "Oh my god, Jesus Christ," and there's just like wizards coming down in lightning fighting gangsters. I really like the when he kills the evil sorcerer with the knife throw.
Okay, so that set up earlier when the gambling match that
it's set up
Jack
frequently is that he has incredible reflexes.
Yes, but the first time it's officially set up, I think, is in the gambling match when Wang says that he can slice this alcohol bottle, we don't know if it's beer, alcohol bottle in half for double or nothing of what he won in a
guessing game.
And Jack Burton says, "Agreed, but it has to be a different bottle." And Wang slams his sword down, the bottle flies at Burton, and he just grabs the hand, like he grabs it in midair as like, "Now you owe me
$2,000. And later on he throws his knife. And he misses, and he goes, "Oh, fuck, I missed." And Grace's like, "Well, come on." He's like, "Oh, God." And then he's like, "This is a nice knife. Time to die." He throws it back. And he instantly just catches it. Like, in a second, it's boop, boop, and he's dead.
Truly, it was like he didn't even think. It was like
the human desire above all else is to play catch.
That's why dogs are man best friend.
Well, dogs don't want to give up all. They only throw, no, or keep.
No, dog give back.
No, I've never seen a dog give back. Dogs notorious for sitting on their hoarded wealth.
Some, absolutely. Some dogs. You can train a dog to give back.
A dog has never opened up a library.
There are several reasons for that, but no. okay. Yeah, you're right.
When I'm right, I'm right. Dogs never build a library. Never gives back to the community. That's selfish.
Wait, that's not to say it's never given back to the community. Dogs are they serve the blind. They are therapists.
They're also cops.
See, I
ain't no
those.
Cat cops. Ain't no anteater cops. Ain't no orangutan cops.
No, but I view...
You know what orangutans
do? A dog cop is a dog that...
Orangutans lie to feds.
A dog cop is like a child who was lied to by big government to join 2 Forever Wars. Like, that's a dog. That's a cop dog.
Now,
were lied to.
I talked to a dog cop once, and he was a real fucking racist.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did he call you a Polak?
He called me a Rock.
Jesus Christ.
Said Roo Rock and Roe Rock. I'm like, "Holy fuck, I'm white. Jesus Christ, what do you do to black people?" So, and he said, "Rang 'em." I'm like, "Holy fuck." 10% of all dogs are in the Klan. It's 1 in every 10 dogs. Oh my god. Oh Jesus Christ.
So Big Trouble unfortunately has the Buckaroo Banzai curse in that it was made for an incredibly effective budget that did not even make its moderate budget back.
It's
that's
wild.
So sad.
Did something else big come out that year?
I mean, let's see that weekend. Yeah, let me look up that weekend. It opened July 4th weekend and was beaten out by Karate Kid 2.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But previous talking about the movie, we talked about the Sasquatch troll.
Yeah.
Face doesn't move.
Eyes move.
Eyes blink.
Yeah, I think
and,
eyes
like,
move.
Kind of move, but
the face does not.
Face
move.
Does not move. Believed it the entire
that's
time.
Well, that's how the Sasquatch be.
Yeah, and then there's the we mentioned the Chinese demon worm,
mm-hmm.
Which shows up for very briefly before Egg throws smoke bomb into its hideout hole.
Just banishes it forever.
Yes, and then there's the eye, like
the observer.
Which is like a floating. Bunch of eyes that are
it's
on
a beholder.
Yeah.
It's a beholder from D&D.
Oh yeah,
it's 100%.
That's 100% what it is. I'm so sorry.
You look at you like that's just a beholder. That's copyrighted material, and Wizards is gonna get on your ass.
Then maybe either they didn't have the copyright then, or not. It's not a beholder because totally it's don't not, go after. Yeah, don't go after.
It's definitely not a beholder, but it's clearly a beholder.
Looks. Fantastic. That I think looks the best, and I think it has to because it's on screen for the longest time.
Yeah.
And it when it gets shot twice and you see both the bullet holes and like it feels lived in this universe. Real, it doesn't look realistic obviously, but like
kind of I saw it on the street, I'd believe it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I saw it in our universe on the street because we don't live in Big Trouble World.
How do you know?
But if I lived in...
I mean, we definitely do. It happened 3 times while I was in Philadelphia.
Sure.
I saw one of these things.
Yeah, you did? We're not doing a good job pitching this movie. This movie is amazing. This movie is only not perfect because the thing is perfect. This is in conversation for best movie we've done on the show.
Yeah, 100%.
This, Serious Man, Furiosa.
Haul Out the Holly.
No, Haul Out the Holly is bottom three.
No, Haul Out the Holly was fun.
Okay.
It's a good movie.
That movie is 80 minutes long and feels twice its length.
Nah, if anything, it should be longer and focus more on her shoulders.
Honestly, I would have preferred a longer movie that was just so overtly your weird sexual fantasy than the movie we
shoulders.
Got. Than the movie we got.
The sexiest part in a woman's body.
I know. We don't really get to... I mean, we see a little bit in the dress, but we don't
this
really
isn't,
get to
yeah,
see...
Yeah, this isn't a this sexual
isn't
a
shoulder,
movie.
This isn't a shoulder movie.
It isn't a sexual movie, even, really.
No.
The biggest romance is about a man in his truck.
I mean, I would argue the biggest romance is...
About a man in his goddamn truck.
About a man who
a man in his
worked for half a decade to buy his lady friend's ticket from China.
A man in his little pork chop.
The Pork Chop Express.
He says,
so that's
pork
obviously
chop.
Going to be the name of his podcast in the yeah. remake. Also, I say
mean, if
this
I was
as a
driving
joke,
a truck, I'd love to be in the same. I'd love to be hearing just that on the radio.
John Carpenter will probably sell the rights to a bunch of shit, and I don't know if a remake has ever been in discussion. Don't remake this movie.
Also, the second best sandwich we've seen after Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
I was like, that looks good.
That's a good sandwich.
I know that's 100% a deli sandwich.
Yeah. All of the performances rip. They're all pitch perfect. They all know exactly the movie
yeah,
they're in.
There's no bad performance in this movie.
No.
Everyone's 100%. All the actors are fantastic, even the ones without speaking lines.
John Carpenter has this thing, especially during his like 15-year unchallenged run where he makes like arguably 5 of the greatest movies ever made, but he has this ability to just get pitch perfect performances out of actors for the movie they're doing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why Memoir of an Invisible Man fails, because Chevy Chase is an asshole and actively combating John Carpenter's direction, which Also interesting that Sam Neill does great in that movie. Oh, and Daryl Hannah's also solid in that movie. She's given nothing to work with, but like what she's given, she does very well with. But I'm shocked that like Kim Cattrall never, I mean, she got Sex and the City and like became like her own thing. But like, I'm shocked that no one else was able to utilize her in this way. And is it just because John Carpenter, like, does he just have this magic power? Or like,
he's just a fantastic director. He gets it. He knows the assignment.
Yeah.
Weird creatures, good direction.
Yeah. I mean, that is the formula for at least for like a handful of
them. Also some of the best commentaries. I'm not sure you watch the commentaries for this movie.
Not for this one. I've seen a couple of his commentaries. Yeah, 100%.
Almost up there with Ben Affleck's on Armageddon.
Oh, I'm trying to think of what one I was watching. I can't remember off the top of my head. But it truly was just like we ran out of money and I fucking hate this. Like, this failed. I had this brilliant idea in my head and then we didn't have money and fuck the studios. Like, truly it was like,
I miss good commentaries.
John Carpenter has said that he wants to direct again, but he will only do it with the proper budget, which is upsetting because his best movies are when they slash the budget.
It's like how John Sawyer says he won't really make another video game unless he gets a proper budget or another Pillars game.
Yeah.
And he's a video game director I really like. And it's like, it sucks.
Like the Carpenter is at his I'm gonna say he's at his worst most of the time when he is given like more than he can handle, like budget wise, or like when he can execute every dumb idea he has.
Yeah, restriction breeds creativity.
Yeah, like when this, but I think this budget was supposed to be like 60 mil and they slashed it to 25. So like he very much had to like work within that constraint, figure out how to bring the script to life. The Thing, I'm pretty sure, was the same way. Vampires was the same way, and a lot of people don't like vampires and they're all wrong.
They suck your fucking blood.
That movie is charming and it rules.
I never invited in a vampire.
But like Village of the Damned, Memoirs, I know I keep harping on Memoirs of an Invisible Man, but like it's truly because it's a fascinating, it's not even so bad. It's watching these two people fight for a full like 2 hour movie.
It's weird art.
It is watching a man trying to execute his vanity project versus an artist trying to execute a vision. And I'm also a defender of the Ward. The Ward is not great. The Ward is very competently made. And if that's Carpenter at his worst, he's still better than a lot of people at his best.
Yeah.
But I know there was talks of like a decade, 15 years ago, Blumhouse trying to give him like a $5 to $7 million thing to make something. And he doesn't want to do it. He's a man who hates filmmaking so much, but keeps coming back to it.
He just wants to play video games.
He's just settled in his life. He wants to be a rock star and play video games and collect those checks every time they want to remake one of his movies. Let them do whatever they want. I'll take their money. There are the Escape duology and Big Trouble. He seems like, what's the word? Not protective, but like.
I like The Thing. But I heard the remake isn't terrible.
Nah. The Thing. So the backstory of The Thing and the actual about the 2011 prequel is that it's digital effects and it looks ugly. From what I gather, they made all of the effects practically and that it looked okay. It didn't like reach the standard of the original Thing, and so Sony panicked and then digitally redid all of the stuff over the practical effects.
I think they did that in one of the Alien movies too recently.
I've not seen the new Alien. I saw Covenant when it came out. That's a movie that I think the first two acts are a masterpiece level, and then it falls apart in the last act.
Yeah.
It falls on its own sword.
Unlike Predators.
We'll bring it. We will absolutely do it for Shane Black Month. This is just turned into babble.
We're just talking about John Carpenter.
Yeah.
We love you, John.
We love you. I saw all of your movies over the course of a year, a little less. I saw Halloween for the first time, not last Halloween, but the Halloween before. And then loved it. And then over the course of like the next 9 months, watched 13 other movies.
Jesus.
I've also seen your Elvis movie. I really dig it. It's the first collaboration between him and Kurt Russell. It rips. If you're listening to this and you have a spare copy of Someone's Watching Me, please send it my way because I would like to see it. Otherwise, I'm going to buy it on eBay. But it's not in print.
Mm.
So I can find it on eBay like pretty easily. I just need to like get paid. But yeah, John. Keep doing what you're doing. Do whatever you want. I wish people were to allow you to do whatever you want. However, I'm sorry they don't. That's it. That's my thoughts on John Carpenter. He rules. He's living the dream. Keep playing Halo. Keep playing Xbox. You should direct an episode of the Halo TV show.
I mean, it would only help it.
Oh, is it bad?
The story isn't good and they butcher the characters, so it's like,
okay.
There are big women, though, so that's something for you. Yeah, that's something's gonna go on for it.
Big woman.
Did you...
Can we have Big Woman Month, or we just watch a movie with Big Woman?
I will... You know what? I will go through my collection and try and find a Big Woman. Two Big Woman movies. You know, I'm not against it. We can do that.
Big Woman!
Okay. Did you fall in love... I have to know, did you fall in love with either of these characters? Any of the three women?
I didn't fall in love, but I think I could fall in love with Gracie.
Okay.
She spends too much of the movie as a brainwashed bride.
That's so fair. What are your thoughts on her shoulders?
We don't get to see enough of them for me to have a strong opinion. I'm not going to talk out of my ass here. I'm not going to make an uneducated opinion.
That is weirdly professional.
Yeah. I take my shoulders seriously. It's the only thing in my life I'm that serious about.
And I, you know what? On that note, I guess, do you have any final thoughts?
You know, watches before you go to Philadelphia will really help you out. If you're a trucker, keep eating your big sandwiches, keep saving the day.
Yeah.
Truckers are the lifeblood of America.
More truckers should start truck-based podcasts.
I think so, yeah.
Talk about whatever you want. Obviously, you can have passions. The best, however,
the best Grubhub tip I ever got was from a trucker.
Yeah,
I went to one of those big trucker-only gas stations to drop one off. I think his name in the fucking app was like Big Mike.
Hell yeah.
He did not disappoint. He lived up to the name and he gave me like a $50 tip.
There was a Big Mike at the open mic last night. I wonder if it's the same guy.
Did you talk into him to tell your jokes?
I mean, I did tell
jokes. You were like, hey, hang on, pass the Big Mike.
No, I was like 10 people after him. It wouldn't have made sense.
Doesn't need to make sense. It just needs to make sense to you. Andy Kaufman, that shit, dude.
Okay. I did have a kind of pseudo Andy Kaufman moment where I'm doing this joke or I'm trying to get this joke to like hit. It works. I just need it to hit now, which is the fun job. Actually, it's the menial, annoying part of this job, but like it's the fun part where the joke is essentially I'm trying to Irish goodbye less, which is just a thing. And I'll do whatever joke about it. And then at the end of the joke, what I did was I just put the mic in the stand and walked off stage.
That's pretty good. I've always wanted to see a stand-up comedian do like the worst he uses like the worst stand-up.
I have seen people do that. It is rarely as
not like
well
bad jokes. Like
no,
he,
yeah.
He comes out, he's sweating profusely.
Yeah.
He tries to tell a joke.
Yeah.
It's not good. He like pisses or shits himself.
Sure.
Then just leaves the stage.
Up until the end, I have seen that.
If I went to see a bunch of stand-up comedians, and the guy went over there and went, my wife's a bitch. And just like shit himself. Then like started crying a bit and left. I'd be like, that was the best thing I've ever seen. Yeah. And no one's going to top it.
I have seen excellent comedians try and do things like that outside of shitting themselves. And it doesn't work as well
because
as you
think. Haven't shit themselves. That's the key.
No one should shit themselves on stage.
If someone went up there and was like, fucking President Cheeto, and then like started crying and shit themselves. Holy fuck. I'd be like Citizen Kane. I'd be standing up just clapping in a room that's silent. I'm like, that's the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God.
Especially if they were like afterwards, we were like really quiet. They were like, oh God.
I don't know if I've mentioned this on the pod. I mean, I have, but I probably
have you shit yourself on stage?
No. But my favorite thing I've ever done on stage was I walked on stage for my open mic set, and the entire 5 minutes went for 5 minutes, pausing one time 3.5 minutes in to look at my clock, realize I still have a minute and a half, and went, this was a bad idea. I'm still gonna do it. And then just kept going. No one in the audience was laughing. The comics in the bar were cackling so loudly.
You know what? You want to take
none
that
of the audience.
Take the 2 of 10. You don't have to take
my shit myself.
You went, buh, 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 buh. Oh God, this is a bad idea. Keep going. Buh, 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 buh.
Oh God.
You shit yourself and then leave. You can't argue that wouldn't make it even if you just if like imagine being a comedian, you're watching this guy, he comes out on stage, he goes bubba da bubba bubba for 5 minutes, like halfway through says this was a terrible idea, and at the end shits himself, doesn't acknowledge it, leaves.
Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for her theme music. You can find Matthew on Instagram at Midwest_magician.
Send me a stand-up idiots where you're shitting yourself.
Okay.
Also, again, I'm going to keep harping on this. Any core ex, I'll pay you $5. Anyone can claim this bounty. I'll be lowering my standards even. Just send me something.
But watch, watch him post stories about anteaters and pictures of little men and him in hockey games. You can follow me at harrisonpool.com on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Lemonade, HARRISONPOOLEDOTCOM, harrisonpool.com. You can follow the podcast on basically everything at Two Men Movie Podcast, except for YouTube, which is Two Men and a Movie Podcast. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. Again, thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening.
Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.